Hallelujah. Let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So good. You are good. All the time. You see, it's the, as you're turning there, you see, it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. And Isaiah chapter 10, it talks to us about it. It tells us that it's the anointing of the Lord that breaks the yoke. What kind of yoke? The yoke that keeps people in bondage. The yoke that keeps people in fear. The yoke that keeps people bound, though Christ has already set us free. But it's the anointing. What is the anointing? The anointing is the presence of God. The anointing is the power of God. It's the smearing of his presence that breaks every yoke. Every yoke. Say every yoke is broken because of the anointing. You are anointed. Every one of you are anointed by the King. He gives you an anointing, and then that anointing grows as you steward it. It's his presence. I'm referring to his presence as we steward it. Are we all at Hebrews chapter 4? Father, we thank you for your word. You said to worship you in spirit and in truth. We worshiped you in spirit and in truth. And now, Father, as we read your word, I thank you, Lord. Hearts will be open to understand, to hear, to receive, and to change. I thank you, Father God. Hope that you give us does not fail, never. And it doesn't escape us because you are the Prince of Peace and you are our hope. You are the anchor of our souls. Hallelujah. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14, it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest. We don't just have a high priest. We have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, our high priest, is who we're talking about. Amen. It says, let us hold fast our confession. Our confession. That word confession is not necessarily what we may think so in our modern American language, where you got to confess your sins, you know? I mean, there's a place and a time for that. That's not what this word is referring to. What this word is referring to, let us hold fast to our confession, meaning what you are proclaiming. Meaning that when you confess the word of God out loud, when you open your mouth and speak the word of God, that is your confession. We're all following, correct? So it says here, let us hold fast. What the devil wants to do is keep your mouth silent and keep the word from coming out of your mouth. What he wants to do is shut up your confession. Say, it's not going to happen on my watch. It's not going to happen on my watch. Do you know that it takes diligence for you to open up your mouth, open up your word, and read it? This is your sword. In Ephesians chapter 6, it tells us that this is the sword. Amen? And so with the sword, we chop off devil's heads. With the sword, we destroy strongholds. With the sword, we cause each and every one of us, your neighbor, to rise up and come up a little higher, because the sword in your hand and the sword in your mouth is going to change everything. Say, oh, that's me. I'm rising up high, a warrior for Christ Jesus. Let us hold fast our confession. Because the exact thing that the enemy wants to do is to silence your voice, silence your mouth, and let you just be a thinking Christian and not a speaking Christian. Let me tell you, it doesn't really work like that. It's like walking on one leg. You're only half empowered. You need to open your mouth and you need to speak the truth. And let me tell you, when you speak the truth in the face of the lies, it takes everything that is within you at first until you grow into that and you start doing it more and more. But that's when things truly change, because when the devil knows you know. When the devil knows you know that you believe what you're saying, that's when he realizes it's all over. Might as well stop. Go bother somebody that doesn't know. And that's what he does. He goes and he bothers somebody else. Let us hold fast to our confession. Let us hold fast to the word of God. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness. In other words, the Lord sympathizes with our weakness. He knows that we are but dust, that we're frail, right? It says, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness. But, say, but. Yeah, this is, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. We know that Jesus was without sin. Tempted at all points, yet without sin. He's a perfect model. He's our perfect example, right? Look at verse 16. Because if we could take verse 16 to heart, and if we would literally do this, things just change. Everything changes. This is verse 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. There is a throne of grace. God has his abundant grace and it's ready for you, but we need to come boldly, not sheepishly, but boldly and say, "Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you have granted me access into the throne room. I thank you that it's because of the blood of the Lamb that we can walk in and we can with boldness say, oh, Abba, you are my King. You are my Father. You are my God, and I worship you." Amen. Just like our children understand. They come to us even though half of the time they shouldn't because they've already been so bad. But yet they still come and they ask, don't they? We need to be good children and come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain. What are we going to obtain? Mercy. Amen. Find grace in the time of need. You take this scripture and you take it into the throne room, you take it into your prayer closet, and you recognize that what happens is your confidence just starts to grow. You become confident. Instead of, oh God, please, you realize, wait a minute, boldness is my portion. Wait a minute. And it's not arrogance. It's godly confidence that is your portion. It's your godly identity that is your portion. Amen? When you do this, you will never be the same. See, we need to be a people that will, we refuse to allow ourselves to be distracted by the world's ways, by real situations that are happening all around us, even in our own homes. Anybody? We need to be a people that refuse to allow discouragement and division to have its place in us. It takes bold tenacity, a bold tenacity, right? You know why? Because you have an appointment with breakthrough. Jesus is our breaker anointing. We have an appointment with breakthrough. Every day you have an appointment with breakthrough and the devil knows it better than you. And that's not good. We need to know it better than him. We have an appointment. I'm standing. I'm not going to miss my appointment. Are you? We're not missing our appointment. We're not breaking our appointment. We're showing up every day. Put your boots on if you have to. I wore my boots today. Why? Devil stomping boots. Under my feet, devil! Let's turn to Matthew 21. We just love the word of God because it's Jesus. The word of God teaches us how to stand in the face of adversity. The word of God teaches us how to love Jesus well. The word of God teaches us how to love ourselves well. The word of God teaches us how to have the authority that he's already given us so that we are not the ones running, the devil is. In Matthew 21 and in verse 19, Jesus spoke to a fig tree. Not about it. I find so many Christians speaking about it instead of speak to it. Let's look at Matthew 21, and I'm going to start in 18, actually. And it says, "Now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves. And he did what? Read it. He said to it." He said to what? He said to what? To a fig tree. He spoke to a tree. He spoke to a fig tree. Now, before you all go, well, that's ridiculous. I can't believe that he would speak to a fig tree. Who would speak to anything that's not alive? Well, you do it all the time. Some of you do it all the time. In other words, you go out and you find that your car that you just constantly have problems with, all of a sudden, what are you doing? You're saying, that stupid car. That dumb this or that dumb that. Okay, there was a day that you would speak to things. Maybe not anymore, but there was, and some of you are still speaking to it. Don't tell me no. You're speaking to things that, but you're speaking the wrong thing to the things. You're speaking the wrong thing to the things. Are we following? Yeah. Jesus here spoke to the fig tree, but he spoke to bring life. He spoke so that he's like, okay, that is not acceptable, but I'm going to speak what is. Are we following? Yes. Lest you think, well, I never speak to things. Well, you might want to rethink that.
I want to take a moment right now and just thank you for your continued financial support to this ministry and for your faithful partnership in prayer. You know, the Lord is doing amazing things, and I am just at awe at what He is doing, how many souls are being reached for the kingdom because of people like you that have partnered with us. So I just wanted to take a moment to say thank you. Thank you for your continued prayer and your continued support as lives are being reached for the kingdom. It's all for the purposes of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's get back to the teaching.
And I don't expect you to answer, but I want you to rethink that, because it's time for us to be the people that are going to speak to something with the blessing of God upon our lips and not the cursing of the devil on our mouths. What we speak is what we want to see, not what we do see. We need to speak what we want to see, not what we do see. Are we following? He said to it, "Let no fruit grow on you ever again." And immediately the fig tree withered away. The Bible says immediately that fig tree withered away. Some people are like, "Well, how long do I need to do this? How long? How long?" Your faith will grow and it'll rise up to where you're going to start seeing immediate action. You're going to start seeing immediate turnaround, and our faith will continue to grow, and we need to press in to the suddenlies of God like this by doing what He's taught us to do. Amen? Speak to it. And when the disciples, verse 20, when the disciples saw it, they marveled. Not that He spoke to the fig tree, and not that the fig tree withered, but how soon it happened. They're like, "Wow, that happened so fast. Wow, that happened so fast." Their amazement was not that Jesus was speaking to a tree and not that the tree withered. It was an expectation. I mean, to get to the place in our walk, and I believe many of us are already there, where your faith is so strong. When you speak to something, you know it has to obey your voice. You know it has to obey your voice, right? Come on, I've taught you long enough to, and I pray that you guys have that kind of tenacious faith when you speak to it. So what I find a lot of times is people speaking about something instead of speaking to it. Speak right directly to it. Not on my watch, devil. I don't care how long you've been there, and I don't care how embedded you think you are. You will not have him. You will not have her. You will not have it. And know with every fiber of your being that it's coming to pass. The disciples were in awe, not that it happened, but at how fast it happened. This is here, this is what they said, verse 20. How did the fig tree wither away so soon? They were used to it. They were used to miraculous happenings. We get to be people with that have a reputation that you know when something is not of God and you show up on the scene, everything changes. Why? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is Christ in you. That's why people ask you for prayer. That's why people call you. "Hey, could you pray?" They know the authority and the anointing that you carry. And the day will come where they start to walk in their own anointing and their own authority. But at this point in time, many of them are calling you for prayer. Is that not true? You just shake your heads. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because there's a growth that's taking place on the inside. And that's called spiritual growth. Amen? So they marveled. How did this fig tree wither away so soon? And in verse 21, Jesus said something to them. Jesus answered and He said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith, faith moves mountains." We all have mountains. We all have something that we're believing is going to go, that we speak to, that we curse, not with curse words, but we tell it, "You are not remaining." In other words, we take authority. Are we all following? The Bible says not to let any foul words come out of your mouth. I'm not talking about cursing in the way our American minds may think of that. But I'm talking about using your authority. Amen? So assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to this fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain be removed, if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. Let me ask you something. Is God a man that he should lie? God cannot lie. We know that. His word tells us that. Does his word change? No, God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If the word just told us that if we have faith, that we can speak to that mountain, not only that it has to be removed, but it has to be cast into the sea. And what does it say? It will be done. Somebody had let the faith of God rise up on the inside of them. It will be done. Not it might be done. Not it might. Every doubt has to go right now. Every place of doubt has to go right now. And you can, if there's doubt in your mind, you cast that thing out right now. Because you know what? God wants to fill you with a greater faith that you walk out of this place and say, whatever that mountain is, it's not going to stand in my life. It's not going to stand on my watch. I don't care how long it's been there. It's withering away. It's being cast out into the sea. You know what? Your children need you to get strong in the faith. Your spouses need you to be strong in the faith. Your parents need you. People, those that God has assigned unto you, they need you to take your walk seriously and to get strong in the faith. So many things that God wants to do in and through you. Verse 22, and whatever things you ask in prayer, believing you will receive. Whatever you ask in faith, whatever you ask as you pray, believing you will receive. See, sometimes people ask, but they have so much lack of faith. I mean, God's still faithful. He, thank God, still moves so much of the time, right? He still moves. But at the same time, just think of how much more he wants us to walk in the fulfillment of things if we just walk in that tenacious faith. If we walk in that bold, irresistible, I'm not backing down, devil, kind of faith. That's what we get to walk in. That's our portion. That's your portion. Say, that's my portion. And I'm walking in the fullness of my portion. Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, not doubting. I'm going to read it again. I'm going to read it again for the back row. Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing. Whatever things you ask for in prayer, believing, you will receive it. Lord, we will receive it. It is ours. It is yours. The minute that doubt tries to enter into your mind, that's when you know that's where the thief right there is knocking on your door, trying to cause you to be robbed of truth. And let me tell you, it'll come in all different forms. It'll come in fear, and it'll seem very real. It'll seem very real. It'll seem like a life and death situation, but you're filled with fear and you know it. You know what you need to do at that moment in time. Even before, there you go. Good job. Before you even pray, you start casting that spirit of fear out of you. Because that spirit of fear wants to cripple you. It wants to cripple you so that you can't stand in faith and believing so that you receive. It's a trick of the enemy. It's a trick. But we're not going to walk in that. We have truth. We know truth. And we're set free by the truth of God. Amen? Glory to God. So the word of God in your mouth is so powerful. We know that the word of God in God's mouth is powerful, correct? We know that. Let's turn to Isaiah 55. We're going to go back to Isaiah 55. 55 and 11. The word of God. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It's not going to return unto you empty, but it shall accomplish what I please, what God pleases. It shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper. The word is going to prosper. The word will prosper in your life. It says it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. If God said all of your children will be taught of the Lord and great shall be their peace, and you stand on that word, if he says, you know, what God joined together, let no man take apart, and you stand on that word, if he says, I am your faithful provider, he says, I will provide for you an abundance out of the riches of glory in heaven. If he said it, then we know it's not going to fail. I just read what it said. I'm going to read it again because it's important that we hear it. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. Now, this is the Lord. It shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. But you know, the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. We can understand when we say, well, yes, that's the word of God. It's spoken through the mouth of God. We know it's going to come to pass. But there you are again, standing on one foot, hopping on one foot, trying to run a race on one foot. The word of God needs to come out of your mouth. When the word of God comes out of your mouth, it is just as powerful as the word of God coming out of God's mouth. Why? Because it's the word. The power is not in you. The power is in the word that's spoken out of you. But it has to come out of you. The power is in the word. So don't tell me God already said it. It's just going to come to pass. God says, I choose you to be an ambassador. He says, I choose you as an end time warrior. He says, I choose you to be an end time ambassador, to stand firm in truth and not to be seduced by the wiles of an enemy. He says, I choose you to walk in that breaker anointing. I choose you. He's chosen us. He's chosen us. Who? His people, his children. Somebody's faith is rising up today. Somebody's faith is getting stronger today. And as that takes place, mountains are shifting and moving and melting like wax before the presence of the Lord. And the presence of the Lord is inside of you. And I've told you this before, the mountains shall melt like wax in the presence of the Lord. The mountains shall melt like wax in your presence because the presence of the Lord is in you. We need to be people that the devil's threatened of instead of being people threatened by the devil. Amen. Too much of the world's who walk around so afraid. Oh, what if the enemy of this? What if the enemy of that? You don't understand the power of God in us. Because the power of God in us is greater, stronger, has already defeated the enemy, already made a public spectacle of him, already triumphed. Glory to God, already rose again. Death couldn't even hold him down. Amen. Resurrection power is living on the inside of you, and it says you have resurrection power. What are you doing with it? Well, your faith is growing, and it's good, because as our faith grows, we become spiritual giants to claim back what's rightfully ours and to leave a legacy that we are called to leave for our family members. Amen? Amen. Glory, glory to God. I want to turn one more place, and that is in Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2 in the very beginning. This is where Jesus forgave and healed the paralytic. So are we all there? Chapter 2, verse 1, and it says, and again, he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Jesus is in the house. Jesus is in the house. Jesus is in my house. I house the Spirit of the Lord in this vessel, and so do you. Amen. They heard that Jesus was in the house, and immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer any room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Thank you, Lord, for the word that is preached to us because it changes us. And they came to him, and they brought a paralytic who was carried by four men. Say, four faithful friends. Do you have a faithful friend? Yes, you do. I hope your faithful friend is sitting right next to you. That will pray for you. That will lift you up when you're down, you're weak, you're sad. That will call you out of that slop, that place of stupor when you need it. They rise up. Not on my watch. Come on, let's go. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. That's a crowded room. That's hunger. That's hunger. That's what he wants us to have, is hunger towards him. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four faithful, by four men, faithful. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof. There was no room in that house Couldn't walk through the door like natural, normally you would walk through that door. But they didn't let a crowded room, a blocked door, a closed door stop them. Don't let a crowded room, a blocked door, a no from somebody stop you from walking into the miracle God wants you to have. They just made a hole through the roof. They said, we're just going to make a hole through the roof then. Fine, we're going to make a way. Jesus, God's the one that makes a way where there seems to be no way. Ha, hello? Maybe we ought to take heed to that. So when they couldn't, there was no room, nowhere. They couldn't come through. So when they had broken through, they broke through the hole in the roof. They let down a bed, which this paralytic was lying on. And when Jesus saw their faith, can you imagine? All this commotion going on, and then all of a sudden we see a mat, maybe on four strings, coming down. And Jesus is trying to preach the word, and here's somebody floating down through midair. That's what took place. That is actually what happened. I mean, it's funny, but look at the faith of these men. And Jesus saw their faith. He sees this paralytic. He can't walk, guys. He's lying on a mat in midair. He sees their faith. And he says to the paralytic, he says, son, your sins are forgiven you. And some of the scribes that were sitting there, their reasoning in their hearts are going, oh my gosh, this man speaking blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God? But immediately, when Jesus perceived in the spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or arise, take up your bed and walk? But that you would know that that the Son of God has power on earth to forgive sins, he says to the paralytic that at this point is down in the ground, he says, I say to you, I didn't say about you. He's not saying about you. He's not saying someday you're going to be healed. He says, I say to you, a direct statement. He says, I say to you, arise. He says, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. And immediately the paralytic got up, picked up his bed, and he went out of there, and they were all amazed. And I say to you the same thing. If you get nothing else out of this message here tonight, I want you to take home, arise, pick up your bed, and go home. In other words, you speak the command of the word of the Lord to your situation, and don't worry if there seems to be a delay. Just know that the word won't return unto you void. Just know that it's coming to pass. Why? Because you're speaking from the unction of the Holy Ghost, not flesh. People led by the Spirit of God, that's who we're called to be. And when we're led by the Spirit of God, we speak the Word of God, and we let the Spirit of God direct our speech.